Right about now, you're about to be possessed by the sounds of the two Ramblers, Dobber and Sammy D.
For the Cougar Cuties, it's time for the Entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. I'm the host with the jokes from the class of 1994, Dobber, and we welcome in, we call him the analyst with the attention to detail, from the class of 1998, it's my brother, Sammy D. Happy Thanksgiving, Sammy D.
Happy Thanksgiving, Dobber. So good to be with you. Sorry we had to do it a day late. Was driving back from the mountains of Virginia. Beautiful, beautiful weather out there in the mountains. And yeah, so we're doing a day late, but still pumped, excited about the win and even the loss at Creighton or against Creighton, but the two games at the Hall of Fame Classic, to break it down with
the
you.
The Hall of Fame Classic from Kansas City. And why is it called the Hall of Fame Classic?
Because the College Basketball Hall of Fame is in Kansas City.
And that is that named after Naismith?
No.
No?
I think that is the other Hall of Fame, which is in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. All right, that's the basketball. Like, okay,
the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Now, wasn't there something a year or two ago? This is going to be the listeners are going to be bored by this, but wasn't there something where they were trying to get something for the College Basketball Hall of Fame? Something from Kansas. It was like $1 million. It was like the first. It was the original rules of basketball they were going to get to the museum.
Yes. I think, yeah, the original, like, rule book that I think Naismith, I think, had. And Kansas is, that's where he was at.
Right.
Okay. He was a teacher at Kansas.
So okay. That's what I remember. And they had to pay, like, $1 million to get this thing. And I'm thinking, really? It's that? I don't know.
Some farmer who discovered oil on his property, yeah, he'll pay $1 million.
It was weird that they had to put all this money together to buy these rules. I'm kind of thinking, it's not like the Declaration of Independence, guys. I mean, do we even play with all those rules anymore? Speaking of rules, can I say something that maybe is like contrarian?
Sure.
But these goaltending rules, I'm not feeling it. When Miles Rubin goes up and just slaps the ball crazy out of he's not above the cylinder, like knocking the ball out. He's touching at the top of the arc, and it's amazing. And then, you know, when they show the replay, the announcer's like, oh, that's definitely goaltending. It's like, shut up. Like, that's a dumb rule. I mean, I get we don't want a 7-footer just knocking balls out of the cylinder, but yes,
this is the back in the day, Lou Alcindor, or what's his name? Actually, a guy who went to Kansas, his name totally escapes me. Will Chamberlain. They were 7 foot, and you had guys 5'10" and 6 foot who were playing against them. That they created the goaltending because, yeah, they were just swatting the balls. But now that everyone is above the rim, it's kind of, it's so rare.
I think if that ball isn't over the cylinder,
I think the one or two that I think you're referring to, I think the ball was over technically over the cylinder. And what they consider over the cylinder is if you draw the hoop and go straight up, and if any part of the ball is touching that inside the hoop, that's considered over the cylinder, even though the whole ball may not be over the cylinder.
No, I don't think so. The one I'm thinking about, he like slammed it up into the glass, and it's like,
yes,
it was nowhere near the hoop.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the announcer was so freaking like, oh, it's goaltending. Oh, just shut up. Shut up. You know what? I am so sick.
What are you so sick of?
All right, listen. I just think that some of these sports, you know, I don't want a Barstool Sports things where it's just where we just throw out all convention.
Right.
But then we swing the other way with these people who are just like the nature of sports is so serious and they're so smug about what they know. It's just kind of like, come on, you know, so that in that particular rule, I think is just kind of I get how it served its purpose at some point, but I think they need to reevaluate it because. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're referring to the color guy was Steve Lapis, who former coach of Manhattan, Villanova, UMass, and he was your quintessential guy that grew up in the 70s and 80s and now is, you know, in his 70s and 80s calling basketball. And so things, you know, yeah, just hasn't really changed. And then so Loyola's view is very much an East Coast biased and that kind of thing. I'm just like, so.
Yeah, and I feel like he was one of these guys who, too, was saying like at some point as the game went on, the second game, it's like he discovered Miles Rubin, you know, it's like,
exactly.
It's like, hey,
oh, he could be good.
He could be good. Really? Hey, that Miles Rubin kid, the freshman. Wow. Like it's like, come on. Yeah. I actually think this Miles Rubin thing is interesting because that bias and, you know, all the Twitter mafia just kind of ripping on Loyola and our KenPom and all that stuff.
Right.
I think Ruben's going to have a couple of these games in the A-10 where these, you know, like a UMass fan is going to be a little shocked because he hasn't watched any games and hasn't seen this kid play. And all of a sudden, Miles Ruben's going to get like five blocks against UMass. And all of a sudden, it's going to be like Loyola is not as bad as we thought.
Exactly.
I think that is going to happen in multiple games because no one's really watching our games, I don't think.
No, it's definitely a lot of cherry picking.
Well, and they're reading like Phil Alston's hurt, so like, oh, their best player's hurt. Okay, they're going to be horrible.
Right.
That's kind of the narrative that I'm hearing. Yeah. And I get it. Like, I haven't watched a St. Louis game this year. So if you told me St. Louis is great, I'd be like, okay. If you told me they sucked, I'd be like, okay. Like, I don't know. There's so many. There's 15 teams in the league. I can't follow all of them.
Yeah.
Speaking of the league, though, like, I know I'm, I guess I haven't talked
to you. You're riffing. Yeah, keep going.
Speaking of the league, boy, I loved VCU beating Penn State.
Yes.
After they lost an ace to them.
And their coach.
And their coach. I loved them beating them. I don't know why. Like I don't even have that much of affinity for the A-10 yet. I haven't grown to we've only been in the league for like what, 12 months? 14 Maybe months. Yes. 14 months. So but I watched that game and I just loved every minute of it. Penn State flopping.
Yeah, I totally missed that. But yeah, I have been watching a fair amount of the scores and just kind of following along, trying to become a little more knowledgeable about the A-10. We are the number one podcast in the A-10, so I figure I should know something about the other teams. But yeah, I agree that's a great win. Oh, I love how sweet it was.
I don't know if we talked about this
at Richmond.
I don't know if we talked about this last week, but I sat in on an A-10 Twitter space.
Yeah.
They're asking me details about the program, and I'm kind of answering.
That's my co-host, Sammy D. I'm sorry.
So,
a quintessential Dauber moment was the other night. my wife and my dad and I were sitting around, we're watching TV, and there just wasn't anything on. So, like, I saw NFL Network had the rebroadcast of the Bears-Lions game from last Sunday. And I was like, oh, hey, I missed a portion of this. Let's watch this. And so it gets to the point where there's 3+ minutes left in the game. And my wife, without missing a beat, goes, hey, Dabber, what do you want to have for Thanksgiving dinner? Because supposedly, as the story goes, is my brother, Dabber, was watching the game in his office. The Bears are winning, and it looks like they're going to win. And his wife comes in and asks about the Thanksgiving dinner. And from that moment on, the Bears lost. And he was just like, he just turns it off and doesn't want anything to do with it.
No, I think it's when Detroit had that last drive. I'm camped up in my office, and the office door opens. And I don't say anything. I just hold my hand up, like, don't come in here. Don't come in here. And then, of course, yeah, the bottom fell out. And Janice said, did the Bears win? I go, no, they didn't win. We were winning when you walked in. And then 30 seconds later, we were down. So, yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, there was a moment where I wanted to turn the TV off, and I almost did. I said, hey, Dad, we could turn off right now, and the Bears won, you know. But that was not the case. So, hey, let's Hall of Fame Classic. You know, we had two Power 5 opponents, one a clunker, or that ended up being a clunker, and then one that was really in a great game. You watched it, right? Both games, day before and then Thanksgiving Day, or were you cooking all day?
You know, the second one was really tough because it was prime time. I had a turkey in the oven. I had multiple sides I had to make. So yes. I actually got a little late start watching the game, but I
would have liked them to have scheduled it with us about a better time, like a little later, maybe a little earlier, but yeah.
But I watched it in its entirety with the airplane mode on my phone on because I was worried I was going to get a text. So I actually did watch the game in a succinct, linear fashion, not no stop. So, and I'm nervous with... I think I was watching on YouTube TV. I'm nervous fast forwarding that it's going to jump to live. So I kind of really watched it like it was like on videotape or something. I didn't touch anything. I just pressed play, nice. Like a rebroadcast. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that game, and it came actually once I did start watching it, it came in a great time. It's at that downtime when the turkey's cooking. You know, yeah. The potatoes were made. I didn't have to do salads or anything else. So I kind of was done with my job for the next 2 hours, and I was able to really enjoy the game all the way to the end. So
That's awesome.
But and where did you watch the game? You were in Virginia for the game.
I saw a few minutes here, a few minutes there. And so I was listening to it on the radio it's the audio broadcast, which was a little tough to listen to if I'm honest, both of that and the Creighton game.
Oh, cause Christian wasn't there.
Christian was not there. It was, the famed alumnus, Ben Richardson, cause he lives in Kansas City, was on the call. Yeah,
and Ramblers are cheap. They just sent him an Uber. It's like Overland Park, Overland exactly. Park to wherever they were, downtown KC. It's probably right. Like a $20 Uber.
$20 Uber rather than the $300 flight and hotel. So that was a little rough. And then later went back and I found this YouTuber called, I think, Matt Loves Ball or something like that, and it was all of the major plays. It's like a 25-30 minute YouTube for both games, and went back and watched it again, and that was really good just because you got the good, you know, all the made baskets as well as, or majority, I think about 90% of made baskets, and just, it was like, okay, and filled in the parts I missed here and there, but got to see just a good feel for it. Sorry, Just put that out. So, but yeah, overall was excited. I do have to admit, when it's on the CBS Sports Network, I do kind of miss my ESPN Plus being able to go back and watch it at a later time, but was able to make it do. So,
Turkey
in the way.
Wait, on CBS, you don't have access to go back and watch it again?
I don't have Paramount Plus or whoever is.
Where do you watch it live? What do you watch? Or do you watch it on
the? I have CBS Sports Network on my live TV feed, but I cannot go back and watch it.
You can't record it?
No. My system doesn't allow that because I'm streaming it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I have YouTube TV, and right. It has unlimited DVR. So I record this. I have life hack here. I just record every NCAA game possible. And so I log in and it says, you have 40 new games to watch. And if Loyola's broadcast, it gets recorded.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I also record every NCAA football game, too. So so sometimes on Sunday, there's like 40 games that are on there.
Right.
Oh, so yeah. It's great. It's great because you can go back. If you hear about a Colorado game or something, you can just go back and watch it. And then they have this thing called key plays,
yeah,
and they break the game down like into 40 plays, and
that's
so
nice.
I watch all the NFL games that way too, so yeah, it's great. And they do it in basketball, but it's not as good in basketball because it'll just be a random layup or a random three, and you're not sure what happened, you know, like the Ramblers will be down by five and then they'll fast forward 10 minutes later and the Ramblers are up by 10 and you're like, what happened?
Right.
How did we get here? So, all right, let's get your three takeaways from the Hall of Fame Classic. Give some love to the Creighton game too, because we haven't. I mean, I think we're still thinking about the BC game, but let's look at them in the entirety.
I think this will be the theme when we go up against teams that are known as better than Loyola. But again, it goes back to the theme we've been talking about last few years since the start of the podcast. It's like, do we belong on the court? And I would say that even the Creighton game, even though we lost by 23, that, yeah, we showed at times we belong on the court. And that was definitely true against BC. But, you know, with Creighton, the Kalkbrenner dude had a game of a life. Like, he had only, like, maybe, I think, 2 3-pointers the whole season, and then went 4 of 8 and was shot 10 of 19 overall. And, I mean, he just was – he had 2 blocks. I mean, he was all over the stat sheet, and it was impressive. The Shireman, the same thing. He was 5 of 8 from 3. So, I mean, they just – they were – yeah, they were 14 of 27. They shot over 50% from 3, and it was just like, wow. So, but I still
I would hate this team if we were in this division.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about the way they were playing. I just hated them. Like when he was shooting on those threes, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. And he's not one to be known to take threes. The guy that Trey Alexander was, everyone that they keyed on, who he did not score. He was atrocious, 3 of 10. So it was like, that was the guy that they said, hey, we're going to stop this guy. And the other two guys just went off. Number two was they looked really crisp, even in both games. There were moments in Creighton, especially the first half, where it's like, hey, they hung with them. They played real well. They ran offense. That was definitely evident in Boston College. And so they were crisp. I think, let me see, on Creighton they had, yeah, only 10 turnovers. And they actually forced Creighton into 11. And then for Boston College, Boston College had 8 and Loyola had 16. That one wasn't as crisp, but it was like, I felt like it was more crisp. Definitely in the second half, I felt that way. And so just like they're starting to figure it out. That was definitely the note that Coach Drew had after the Boston College game, was that they're figuring out how much better to figure it out with even Phil not on the court. And again, it goes back to what kind of the theme of this year is roles. If guys are finding their role and thriving in the midst of that. And then the third thing was you got to see guys step up who we hadn't seen from, or at least really kind of assert themselves, i.e. Miles and Jaden and Jalen. I think the three of them, yeah, I mean, just looking at their stat line for the Boston College game, Jaden had 14, Jalen 9, Miles 8, but, you know, 4 rebounds, 3 or 2 blocks for Miles in this the BC game. Even Jaden had a block. And so just like the three of them were like, wow, this is our team moving forward, and just excited about that. So those are my three.
Yeah, and you haven't even mentioned, I think one of the things that was a great sign from these two games was Braden Norris.
Ice cold.
Cold, yes. Ice cold is right. That's, I think both games, really, was so excited to see him, you know, begin to really start to round into form that we all have grown accustomed to, especially hitting threes. He was 2 of 4 in the Creighton game, and then 5 of 7 in the second game. And I'm just like, that's the guy we want. That's the guy we want that everybody in the A-10 does not want to see. Because it reminds me of the guy from Davidson last year, the lawyer or poster lawyer, lawyer something, lawyer. I want to say lawyer Malloy, but that's not right. But
Foster lawyer.
Yeah, that was the guy that everyone, you know, kind of compared him to, and Braden did not show that last year, but he definitely has started to show that this year, and to do it against two Power 5 teams that in the past, you know, he kind of crumpled in the last year. So really exciting to see that.
Well, and I think, too, it was evident that with Dez on the floor, Miles on the floor, even Jaden Dawson at one point, it was taking some of the pressure. Oh, and Dolan, of course, taking the pressure right off of Braden.
Yes.
And so, you know, he had a couple of shots where he shot from beyond the arc really far, but he had a couple that were set up by his teammates. And so,
exactly.
So if we can keep him getting fed and he can get back to his average, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And he did shoot, let's see, Braden, he shuts 2 for 4. So that's 50% against Creighton. And then what did he shoot? 5 for 7. So that's what, 70%? Something like that.
Yes.
Right?
That's like just over 70%.
I was a liberal arts math class. I got a C in it. I got a D in physics. Those are the two hardest math classes I took at Loyola. Okay. So that was definitely kind of fun to see. And there's a guy on Twitter now. You know, guys are always changing their names, and I don't know who the real people are. I wish these Loyola accounts would just have their real name, because it's kind of like,
yeah, who is this?
I don't feel like we're big enough to have all these, like, nom de plure. Is that the word, nom de plure?
Sure.
Pen names, right? So,
I mean, you were the English major.
Right. So there was a guy, well, that's French. Anyway, but there's someone called Rambler Stats or Rambler something. Anyway, one thing he put, and I saw this on Twitter, was that the grouping of Dez, Dolan, Norris, Miles, and Jaden was like plus 16 in the Boston game and plus 9, I think, in the Creighton game. That particular grouping was a really good mix of defense and offense. So I might have those stats wrong, but I thought that was an interesting thing. And so to your point about them figuring it out, I think they're starting to figure out what groupings are working together. And there were some interesting groupings. I mean, there was a grouping where it was Jaden, Jalen, Norris, Dez,
and
a center. Yeah. I mean, so like a four guard setup. So, I guess Dez is kind of playing a forward, but But yeah, it's just interesting. There's this little grouping that they have. We mentioned a couple weeks ago about the Tom Welch Miles grouping.
Twin Towers.
Yeah. So, all right. Well,
there was definitely a sighting against the crate, and I was thinking not only was the Flowbee being used, but the baby faced trees. I felt like that was true of them.
Yes.
But overall, I even though they lost by 23, they weren't embarrassed, and so was excited to see that. Yes, they lost, but they showed grit in the game, and then they come back against Boston College and play really well, and to build upon what they did do well in that game. So,
well, it looks like you've been joined by a sassy reindeer in the background.
Yes. Elsa, the number one fan here in Virginia, is excited to join the podcast. She's like, I want to talk to Uncle Dabber. But I was like, oh, give me a few minutes to break down the games before we get into it.
Well, we're going to take a little break. We're going to play a game now.
I'm ready.
We're going to come back and give some awards away. But this is a new game for the Two Ramblers podcast, and we're calling it
90s Callback.
It's the 90s Callback.
Yep.
So, yep. Sam, we got you on the board today.
I'm ready.
I'm going to be playing some sound clips from songs from the 90s.
90s Callback.
And okay, I'm ready. And I'm going to play just a few seconds before we get a copyright violation.
yeah, let's not do that.
I'm going to play a few seconds, and I want you to give me your best answer for artist and song. These are all songs in the 90s.
Okay.
When I was at Loyola. Now, we crossed over a couple years.
Just 1 year.
So you might have actually been in high school when some of these songs came out. But I'm going to say that you were plugged in and you were going to know them. So let's see how many you can get right. Are you ready for the first one?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Beck. I'm a loser, baby.
You got it. Wow, that was fast. All right. This game might be really quick. Maybe I didn't prepare enough. All right, here we go. Next one.
Oh, I know it.
A little more?
No, I know. TLC, Chasing Water, Waterfalls. There it was. I was like, I needed the hook to come in.
Wow, there we go. Wow, you're just killing it.
Chasing Waterfalls.
Okay, all right.
The left eye, nice.
All right.
And Chili.
All right, this one's going to be a really fast one. I'm not going to give you a lot here.
Were you trying to get crazy with this scene?
Oh yeah! Let's take the bong break in the middle of the concert with Cypress Hill. Insane in the Membrane. Now at the Aragon Ballroom. What's up?
Okay.
Also, paying opening for them. Dabber and Sammy D were there.
All right.
Were you? I doubt it.
I'm gonna give you a tougher one here.
Too easy, Drill Sergeant. I inside the tip of my tongue. I want to say Luther, but that's not it.
Now you're off a little bit.
No. It's is it Leanne Rimes?
Turn down the light.
I know it. I'm totally blanking. Wait, who was it? That was what do you got?
I Can't Make You Love Me.
Yes.
By Bonnie Raitt.
Yep.
Bonnie Raitt. Okay. All right.
All right. Two of three. Or three of four. Okay, Smashing Pumpkins is the band. I'm drawing. I'm drawing a blank on the song. I know the song. It's. I can see them. Uncle Fester, James Wu. Today is the day. This.
Oh, you got it! You got it! Today.
Oh, is it today? Oh, yes!
Today. Okay, couple more.
Wow.
Couple more.
I pulled that one out of my hat. Oh yeah, Rhythm is a Dancer. I don't know who sings. I'm ready. I'm already bobbing the head like the Night at the Roxbury. It's Rhythm is a Dancer, right?
It is Rhythm is a Dancer. You got that. You nailed it. This one's tough. I put this one here to mess you up.
I don't know. I honestly don't know who it is.
He's out of ideas.
The group is called Snap.
Yes. Snap. I'm just imagining, and I got my head bobbing, you know.
All right. Two more.
You ready? Here we go. Two more. All right. I'm ready. It's unbelievable. It's an English band. Telling this is my surprise. It's not Jane's Addiction. It's no. It's they're from.
You say.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm gonna hear it. I'm gonna know it.
EMF.
F. Yeah.
All right, here's the last one. And again,
I got the song, though.
And this is the last one. And again, all these songs were songs from Loyola. Like, I only picked songs that I remembered listening to at Loyola.
Exactly.
So here is the last one.
I know the song. I'm blanking. I'll know it if I hear this singer. I wanna love somebody. I know the song. I'm blanking. I hear you looking for someone to love. Yeah. 'Cause you need to get back in the arms of the good friend.
Got the name, girlfriend.
Friend, yes.
Matthew Sweet.
Sweet, yes.
All right.
Damn it, the Vic. Oh, come on.
All right, so what do we got here? We got, let's see, you got Loser. You got Waterfalls. You got Insane in the Membrane. Got half credit for Unbelievable.
Yep.
I Can't Make You Love Me, Bonnie Raitt. You missed that one.
Yep.
Rhythm is a Dancer. You got half credit.
But not get Snap.
Today, Smashing Pumpkins, and then Girlfriend. You got the title. You didn't get the thing. So right. pretty good. You're a little out of shape there. A little out of practice.
It's because I'm listening to too much of the... what do they call it? The kids bop. So yeah, I'm out of shape when it comes to 90s callback.
Well, that was a 90s callback. So
90s callback.
All right. So I think next time we're gonna have to do my version for you is 90s movies. See if you could get the quotes.
Because
back in the 90s, Sammy D was running the show. And that's how Dabber got to see movies all in the 90s.
Exactly. I did not pay for a movie for 10 years. Proud of that, too.
Yes, proud of that too.
I remember I saw like half a Zoolander, and then I came back another time and watched the first half. It's because I didn't have to pay for it. So I just like walked in. Okay, let's give away a couple of awards.
Yes, let's do it.
I think the unanimous Matt the Hammer Hawes Award for Heart and Hustle has to go to Jaden Dawson.
No, oh, without a doubt.
I mean, let me just look at these numbers from the BC game. 4 for 9, but 4 for 8 from 3-point range.
As you're unpacking that, yeah. I want to draw the correlation to the first game against Creighton. He played 20 minutes and he shot 1 of 10. He was 1 of 5 from 3. So think about it. Going into Boston College, he literally had a horrible game. He scored 3 points. It was his only bucket of the day was a 3. He had 2 rebounds, 3 personal fouls. So it's like one of those games like I didn't get anything out of that. And then to come out in the second game against Boston College and to literally light it up, 23 minutes, 4 of 9 shooting, 4 of 8 from 3, 3 rebounds, and an assist, and so it was just in a block. And so it's like to come off, have a Hammer Award-winning game after a clunker of a game where he, you know, was still getting his legs. Kudos to him. Kudos to him. Much, 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 much rep. Much, much, much praise. Much, what's the word? Much, much love. Much love there, right. JD.
Yeah. So watch that microphone there. You're bumping it. So, but anyway, yeah, definitely Jaden Dawson loved him in that second game. And again, if we get Braden and Jaden going at the same time and have some inside play with a healthy Phil and Miles and Dez and Dame, I think that's a great combination. That's what I saw in the Creighton game. I mean, the Creighton went lights out from the three, and then they had a 7-footer down low.
Right.
We actually outshot them in the paint, I think, inexplicably. Am I wrong about that?
Points of the paint, 42 to 34.
Right. So, but what killed us in that game was all those threes, right?
Yeah.
So if we start getting points in the paint, we can still generate some points in the paint, and we're getting some of those threes. We're hitting at 30-40%.
They shot 32 of 58 overall. We shot 27 of 61. So they had 3 less buckets, but they scored 8 more 3-pointers than we did.
Right. So that's
the game.
So if we could get Jaden and Braden kind of in that, and then get some timely threes from maybe a Dez or a Dolan, then we're starting to look like these teams that have been killing us the last couple of years.
Exactly.
Big, you know, some big guys down low who can score, and then, you know, scoring from the perimeter. So that's kind of interesting. So Jaden definitely Hammer Hawes Award, and then JB's giant play of the game. We've got to go back to the Boston College game. And the play that I think a lot of people are going to remember is Norris with the ball, the big 7-footer from BC.
Post
kind of drifts a little bit to help defense. Miles slips behind, and Norris has a nice little pocket pass, and Miles gets it in to go ahead by 2. That's the play I think people are going to remember. But I want to go back one play when we're actually down by 3 with the game on the line.
Yes.
And who has the ball? Who's moving with the ball?
It's Miles.
Miles Rubin is moving with the ball. Our freshman is moving with the ball outside of the paint, and he hands off to Dez and sets him up for a perfect 3, and Dez drains it. Those are clutch. That's a clutch assist and a clutch bucket at when the game counted. So,
exactly.
So that's what Miles did on the possession before. He gets an assist for a 3 that ties us, and then he gets a go-ahead bucket in the next possession. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, we went on a huge run at the end of that game, and that was part of it. That's 5 of the points of that run.
Yeah, without a doubt. It was exciting to see. And it just, yeah, and Miles was a man possessed in that game. In both games, really. I mean, he was not shy. He was not scared. I mean, they were both 7-footers in both of those games. Quinton Post in the BC game was a 7-footer. And he scored, but, you know, Miles was not afraid. I think the thing I saw a couple different times, I would like to see Miles start using a jump fake, you know, where it's like he would go straight up against the guys and get, you know, maybe blocked or whatever, but get his defender in the air and then go up would be good. But I think overall, he just did not show any fear about being on the floor with Kalkbrenner or Post. And then to see it in the fact that it was really like limited minutes. He, you know, how many did he have in the second game? Yeah, 16 minutes in the second game, which you and I were talking earlier. Like, I felt like he was on the floor of the whole game, but yet 16 minutes. And the first game, 23 minutes. So he's playing half the game and yet causing havoc, which is exciting. Yeah, 3 blocks in the first game and how many in the second?
Two
in the second.
Okay.
But still, he had a couple goaltendings, as you know, realize. And it's I love the goaltend in that sense, where it's like he's not even allowing the ball to get in, or those, you know, where it's fouled and he's blocking it kind of thing, where it's like, you know, just very much a, like, I don't care, you're not getting in the hoop kind of mentality. And so it was exciting to see his tenacity on the defensive side and not be scared on the offensive side.
And he's doing pretty well in terms of blocks in the nation right now. I think, again, Rambler Stats or whatever his name is, I think he said that he's 15th or something, tied for 15th. So these blocks are starting to add up.
Yeah.
So that's definitely cool. And this is a perfect time, perfect segue. We did not do a Dobber Dogs segment. I know everyone's wondering who...
Yes,
who,
we missed that last episode. I thought about that later.
Everyone's wondering who's at the top of the dog... The dog pile. Who's on top of the dog pile?
Dog pile. We'll go with that.
For the Dobber, and this totally makes sense. Miles has now jumped to the top.
Yes,
he was in the two spot for a while with Patrick and Dame, kind of bopping around there. Greg Dolan opened the season as my front runner.
Yes.
But Miles now has really established himself. When he comes in, he creates problems for the other team, whether it's on offense or whether it's on his defense and blocking. So I think it's opening up plays for other players. You know, I think one of the reasons why Dez was wide open with that handoff was I forget what is it. It's not a pick. Is it
a rub?
Rub or whatever. I mean, I think Miles is kind of a tough cover.
Yeah.
And he's moving with the ball and he's handing off this guard, and the guard gets a little lost. Like they miss him. They can't find him. And so I just think he's gonna just pay off more. And I just hope we get to see this guy for 4 years. I hope it's not one of these things where he does so well that next thing you know, he's on Illinois.
Right. Exactly.
That would be the worst. Or DePaul. How bad would that be? You had to watch him on DePaul.
That would be
or Northwestern. Oh my gosh! I just thought of all the worst scenarios. Okay, I had another. So he's at the top. What's number two? Number three? Well, Patrick Mwamba's kind of fallen off the last couple games, so he's definitely out of the top three. I think Jaden is making a case. Tom Welch had a couple good games there, and now he kind of disappeared in the BC game.
He did. He didn't have much time in the BC game.
Yeah. So I don't know right now. It's kind of still, it's anybody's game. And as the season goes on, hopefully it'll get clearer who's really the Dobber Dog of the year. I definitely am leaning towards Miles right now. I'm definitely excited when he gets the ball. I'm excited about his passion. And it's fun to watch.
I think if Jaden had strings some more of the, you know, the BC games back to back, I think him and Miles may run away like a two-man race towards the end.
I do like Jaylen getting to the hoop. he's one of the only guys that seems to have that quick step and can get to the hoop.
He had a couple of those, like, phew, gone.
Yeah, and we need that because there's just something. I feel like some of these times, I feel like this with Phil sometimes. Phil's a monster. He's a tough cover. And yet there's some times where it feels like he's a little clunky getting to the hoop and the defense catches up. Whereas Jalen has the ability to blow by a guy. And then when he finishes with his left, because he's left-handed, right?
Yeah.
That's, I think, another thing that's difficult for guys to cover is that left-handed shot. So
I agree.
So that's pretty cool. Hey, I had another thing that I prepped here. And now I don't have my notes. I had something ready for you. I wanted to get your take on something.
Okay.
If there was a guy in the portal right now who was averaging 16 points a game and at the same time averaging 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and was playing 25 to 30 minutes a game, would you be interested in having him on the Ramblers?
Yes.
So double-double. He's averaging a double-double.
Yes.
16 points.
Yes.
He's getting 10 rebounds a game, 3 assists, and he's playing 23 to 30 minutes. Would you be interested in that guy? What if I told you?
I would, yes.
What if I told you that's number 0, St. Thomas? In six games, he is averaging a double-double. Yeah, so
that's good for him.
And so for all you Rambler Dysphoria posters, looking at Jacob Hudson's 4 points a game,
TY,
and looking at TY Hilton's 10 points a game or 6 points, 8 points a game, go look at Northern Colorado statistics. And you'll see a guy who's really doing great. So if you really love ex Ramblers, guys, I want to see some tweets about St. Thomas.
Yes.
this gives a segue into this week's games. St. Thomas and the Northern Colorado Bears beat the Chicago State Cougars. They were on some tournament.
Common opponent. Yes. I don't remember which one it was. I did see that.
It was in Mexico.
Yeah, the Cancun Challenge. Yeah.
So,
all right, coming up this week, got two games. Chicago all right, State.
It's time for the Cougar Cuties.
I don't think they're bringing them to the Gentile Arena.
I did some research about the Cougar Cuties. I don't think they exist anymore.
Okay,
good. I searched everywhere for Chicago State dance team, Chicago State, nothing. I couldn't find anything about the Cougar Cuties.
I think they probably disbanded soon after that announcers was like, you know, grossness. Yeah. So Chicago State playing. This is a game much like Eastern Illinois. I think their KenPom was 348, so bottom of the rankings. And then the Saturday game, December 2nd, against Harvard. And that game, they're a comparable opponent. I posted Malik Mack is their freshman who is just like balling out. He could prove to be problematic is the word I was looking for. Thank you, English major. And yeah, our defense has got to be on point against him because he looks like one of those crazy wiry guards that just can shoot from anywhere and not afraid of any shot. And so, and then they took it to Indiana last week in Indianapolis, and although lost, but yet took it to them. So that could be a tough game.
Well, I love it when teams, you know, when a guy takes it to a team and then loses. So. Take it to us, Malik, and just make sure that Harvard loses. I'll be happy. I don't care if you get 30 points. If you lose, I'm happy.
But it's one of those games, you know, the UIC game, which UIC has been balling out lately. So they have not lost since we've seen them. And but what was the game the other day. Where the one we barely won, where it's like they had that one guard who just did not miss. Why am I blanking on that? Seriously, Sam.
New Orleans.
Yeah. Where, you know,
Jordan Johnson.
Jordan Johnson. He's very much like that, you know, even a little taller. And so just like that's a game. Yeah. It's just kind of scary. You know, so hopefully Jaden is on point and can defend, as well as Jaden as well as Dez. And then hopefully we get Phil back quickly.
Well, yeah, that'd be great. Well, it's time to make an announcement. I do not have tickets for that Harvard game, but would like to go and I'm free. So if anybody has tickets
want to participate in the Dobbers Ramblin' Tour.
The Dobber Vagabond Tour continues. If anyone has tickets, and even an extra ticket, I don't need two. I only need one to get to Harvard. And I would really like to see that game because it was a fun game last year. It was painful to watch last year.
Yes.
And I felt like we could beat them last year and we just let it slip away. So exactly. I'm hoping for a really strong home showing, especially coming off that BC game.
Right.
Let's just take it to another Boston team.
Let's do it.
And yeah, I am excited about that. And I'm hoping to get to that one. So, I think that's about it. Any other comments?
No. Excited for this week. You know, we're getting in regularly the Tuesday, Saturday schedule, it seems like, looking ahead. Yeah, because in the following week, we have Tuesday, Saturday at Tulsa, which is not on TV as of yet. So be interested to see what happens there. And then Goshen, that's one of those they had to fill out the calendar one. And so I really do see that this next four games, these are all winnable games going all the way in up to University of South Florida. And that was one that was supposed to be in Atlanta, but it got moved to Tampa. Yeah,
that's slightly better for us, right? Because yes, Atlanta would be neutral.
This is now a road game,
right?
So, conceivably, you know, the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, if they rattle these off, I mean, then they're coming into if they go 7-1, you know, then you're talking we're already at 10 wins. And so that's a pretty exciting, you know, turnaround from last year where we were scraping by to get to 10. So coming into league play starting on January 3rd against St. Louis. So hopefully Coach Drew is correct in that they are rounding into form and figuring things out, and they're going to start seeing really positive results because of that.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, from the two Ramblers. Now everyone's putting up Christmas trees, and December's coming this week. So hopefully we'll see you at the Gentil in the next couple weeks. And for the analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D, I'm Dobber saying so long and go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers!
I finished early again. The timing on this is off for me.